There we go.
Broadcasting from Indianapolis, Indiana.
USA.
You're listening to Forgotten Favorites.
Forgotten Favorites.
On a worldwide legend.
Visit our new website at legendoldies.com. Request a song. See what's currently playing. View the weekly schedule in your local time zone and learn more about your favorite DJs. Listen to talk shows when you want with your computer, Victor Stream, or iPhone, including All Things Radio, ATR Extra, Coffee Club, and Sports Lounge Live. Connect to our Zoom voice chat rooms to talk with us live using your computer, iPhone, or telephone. All this and much more at legendoldies.com. Welcome to Sports Lounge Live, a weekly talk show covering baseball, basketball, football, NASCAR, plus the latest sports news, both pro and college. Hear past talk shows on your phone by calling the Conversation Station or as a podcast on your iPhone, Victor Stream, or computer. Visit legendoldies.com for links to automatically connect via your computer or iPhone. Call the sports aficionados at area code 646-876-9923 and enter the PIN 287-723-4600, followed by the pound key twice. And now, your hosts, Chris Devon, Perry Lester, Sean Platts, and Bill Sparks.
Well, a very good evening from a very cold Indianapolis, Indiana. Left Florida for this. I'm not too smart, but I'm smart enough to turn it over to Chris to pick up the Sports Lounge Live. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, well, we have a kind of a unique show tonight. We've got...
And this is episode now number, what, 35, Chris?
35, number 35 on March 31st of 2019. And remember, tomorrow, don't believe anything you hear from anybody, especially any politicians. It's April Fool's Day. Okay, so we have a unique show tonight. And first, we're going to throw things together into college sports because we've got men's college basketball today. We have the men's Final Four set. We have women's college basketball. A couple of Final Four positions were picked up. We've got a Frozen Four. We got three of those settled now, and we got one game left. We can talk about the Frozen Four a little bit. Then we're going to do some coaching maneuvers, firings, and changes in college basketball. Then we're going to move on quickly to the NFL. There have been three or four things happened this week. There's always something in the NFL. Then we'll do the NBA. Then we'll do the NHL. Then we'll do baseball, and the reason we're saving baseball for last, even though it's the opening of the season, is we have a nice, about a 25-minute feature with Marty Brenneman, a new feature. This is one that is not the one that we had that I knew about from January. This is today, this Thursday, I guess. Bill Cunningham did another interview with his friend Marty Brenneman, and they were talking, and we may run a little over, but never fear. Treasure Island Oldies will be here if the technical gods shine upon the legend. We shall see about that. Anyway, Sean, why don't you tell them about where we are and what we're doing?
Well, first of all, yeah, like I said, it's not technical issues on the Legends end for those that are expecting Treasure Island Oldies. It's on their end. But anyway, we're going to do a little bit different this time. Usually I tell you where to listen at the end of the show, but since we'll be having Marty Brenneman and going right into Treasure Island Oldies, hopefully it all works out. I'll let you all know today, but first of all, I want to say our condolences, thoughts, and prayers go out to Scott from the Conversation Station, big supporter of this show. He didn't download the podcast. He recorded it and put it up there, and sometimes it was up 2-3 minutes after the show was over, sometimes before we were done talking after the show, but he passed away Tuesday. He went in the hospital for pneumonia on February 25th. He died on March 26th. Thoughts and prayers go out to his wife, Michelle, his family. He, like I said, big supporter of the show. But speaking of the show, it will still go on, and you can always hear it at 773-572-7715, which is also where you can leave your comments and questions, criticisms, anything throughout the week. When you hear it, if you want to skip over, leave us a message, hit the pound key, and then do not make the message private, that way we can all hear it. Of course, legendoldies.com is where you can get it, or worldwide, all one word, space legend, on your podcatcher, type it in and select Sports Lounge Live, or on your Lady A and other devices, just say play Worldwide Legend Podcast and keep saying next until it comes up with Sports Lounge Live. Of course, you can call in 646-876-9923. when you get in here, or you download the Zoom app. And when you're on there, you do 287-723-4600, hit the pound key twice, star 6 mutes you and unmutes you, star 9 raises your hand. Also, our good buddy, Ringside Robert, who is with us tonight, no boxing podcast this week, but they usually have him, ringsidereporter.com or 773-572-7781.
And there won't be a show up until next week. So those that call will hear last week's show.
Yeah, not till Sunday. And of course, shooting the bleep with Sean, 773-572-7867. I'll be talking WrestleMania memories for the 35th anniversary of WrestleMania. So, all right, let's get on in to some college sports as we're getting some winter championships going on.
Okay, well, we got our scoreboard here. We, as I say, we have men's college basketball, women's college basketball, and then we have little Frozen Four information for you. So for the men today, we had a big SEC battle for a Final Four spot, and Auburn beat Kentucky 77-71 in overtime. And I'm curious, Perry, how do SEC fans generally, is that like, hey, we beat the Yankees or we beat the Patriots or something? You know, one of those teams you just want to, not them again, let's get them out and let's let somebody else get in there. Is that the way SEC fans feel?
I think it depends, Chris, upon who you ask.
Not the Alabama fans, then, is what you're saying.
That's correct. Yeah. Now, if you listen to Adam Gresh, who, of course, is on CBS Sports Radio on Saturdays, he said the thing with this coach, he said this would be the coaches. He said, which Icky do you like less?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Andy Gresh, right?
There you go. Andy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. The other game, another, these guys have tangled. I don't know how many. I heard a weird statistic today, like about 18 times in the last some number of years they've tangled. Michigan State and Duke, of course, they meet a lot in the ACC Big Ten Championship or in these big tournaments, these things that are set up for TV. Anyway, this time, and for one of the few times, because Duke usually wins these, Michigan State beat Duke 68-67 in a heck of a game. So the Final Four is set. So on next Saturday in Minnesota, we will have Texas Tech will meet Michigan State in one matchup, and Auburn will meet Virginia. Now, this is interesting because Auburn has never been there. Texas Tech has never been there. Michigan State went in 2015. They and Duke both had been there in 2015, the year Duke won. And Virginia hasn't been since 84. So this is an unusual group of folks in the Final Four.
It was the year after Ralph Sampson left. They went one time in 84. That was
that's right. That was the year Georgetown beat Houston in the final game. Yep.
And Michigan. And only one number one. Yeah, you have one number one seed, a number two, a number three, and a number five seed left.
Right.
And nobody from the same conference.
Right. And that's people kind of expected. And it's interesting because, you know, nobody really talked about it. We talked about the Big 12 a little bit here, but nobody thought there's three of their teams still playing because we got Texas Tech playing. We'll mention the NIT in a little while too. And we got TCU and Texas playing too. So the Big 12 has a good tournament resume. We got a Big 10 team. We got an SEC team and an ACC team. So it's a good power thing, but not the usual suspect. Let's put it that way. But the women today, we had in the first regional final, we had UConn beating Louisville 80-73. And talking about usual suspects, the UConn women are back in the Final Four for the 12th year in a row. And they were number two seed this year, heaven forfend. They weren't a one seed. What the heck's going on? Well, a two seed isn't a bad thing to be. And they got there, so that's fine. So Gino Auriemma back to the Final Four. Where is the Final Four next week anyway?
It's in Tampa, Florida.
Tampa, okay. And the other game, Oregon beat Perry's Mississippi State team 88-84. So Oregon is the first. On the other hand, we talk about UConn. Oregon's their first trip in, I heard. And in the games for the women tomorrow night, we have Baylor and Iowa will meet. So Perry's got interest in that. And another big
And the winner of that game will play Oregon.
Okay, and the winner of the Notre Dame-Stanford game will play UConn then. Okay, and then in the NIT, coming up on Tuesday at Madison Square Garden, the Final Four, we have Lipscomb against Wichita State, and then that Big 12 matchup we mentioned, TCU and Texas. So that's kind of what's going on with college basketball. And then I guess we had a few, oh, in hockey, I'm sorry. I had a little bit of Frozen Four for you. I forgot. Okay, in hockey, we have two of the Final Four, or the Frozen Four, which will be in Buffalo on the 11th and 13th. Of course, it's always the week after so that they don't conflict with the men. So UMass, the first time they've ever made it, and they'll meet perennial power Denver in one matchup over there. Providence moved on by beating Cornell today in Providence 4-0. And we have a game tonight between Quinnipiac and Minnesota Duluth. I think they've both been to the Final Four at various points, so that's not they're not strangers to it. But a lot of the perennial powers, Michigan, Michigan State, Minnesota, BC, Wisconsin, a lot of them aren't here this year. But so we have some unusual Final Fours. And how about Lipscomb? That's a story. I mean, to get the NIT, it's not the NCAA, but that's quite a story. They beat NC State in Raleigh. I mean, you know, that's pretty good stuff.
And you know what? It's been a good NIT tournament this year. If you haven't paid attention to it, it has been a very good NIT. And that Lipscomb NC State game the other night, that would be an instant classic.
Oh yeah. So Perry, why don't you talk about a little college basketball coaching carousel?
Well, both of them were really very not so well kept secrets. The new coach at Texas A&M replacing Billy Kennedy is going to be Buzz Williams, the coach at Virginia Tech. And then yesterday it was announced that Fred Hoiberg, who was with the Bulls most recently and he coached at Iowa State, he is going to be the new head coach at Nebraska, replacing Tim Miles.
I get the feeling you've been saying kind of over the years with Fred Hoiberg that he might be more suited to the college game. Is that what you think?
If you listen to most people who know him, they will tell you that he's more suited to the NBA game.
And really?
That he really was not a big fan of the recruiting, you know, in the college level. Because a lot of people think that's the reason that he went to the Bulls, is that he was just kind of burnt out on the recruiting. So,
Nebraska is going to be not as much pressure.
No, but they're going to be paying him nearly $4 million a year. So he better like the recruiting now.
Yeah, I mean, they're not a basketball school. They're like, hey, you know, it's kind of like a place where if they win, it's not like going to Michigan State in that conference where you better win now. I mean, as long as they can, you know, be respectable.
Well, I think, though, if they're ramping it up, if they're paying them that money, they may be trying to change their image there.
They want to be a basketball school along with a football school. So
right.
So and the like football Penn State, is not near, you know, as – remember, their football program, at least for the time being, it hasn't been Nebraska-esque for about 20 years.
Right. And then we had some firings, didn't we, too, Perry? I think we had Tim Miles was fired by Nebraska. Dave Rose.
Dave Rose, BYU.
Yeah,
and Avery Johnson, Alabama, and Bryce at Vanderbilt.
Okay, and wasn't the Arkansas coach fired too?
He was, Mike Anderson, and the rumor The rumor there is that Kelvin Sampson, the coach at Houston, might be up for that job.
Okay.
And the other rumor is that if Texas, depending on how they do in the NIT, this is the thing. Texas has been looking to get rid of Shaka Smart, and they're wanting a little bit of a change. The rumor is that they may be looking at a deal where he could maybe, he's a big East Coast guy anyway, he could kind of go into the Virginia Tech job.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So I guess that's it for the, is there anything else on the college that we need to cover for the winter sports?
No, I think that's about it.
All right. So we have a few NFL notes. Bob Kraft wants a jury trial for his misdemeanor prostitution thing, and I don't think that's going to – there was a big – I know that I read the beginning of an article in the Globe today about it, and they had the same feeling I do, that it's kind of overkill, you know, that he's going to come off as the rich guy trying to buy everything and, you know, just take your punishment. What's the percentage of men in this country that have gone to these places and been – caught, you know, and been the Johns, 10% of the men in the country can probably say, hey, just take your punishment, pay your
duties. Very bad move on his part.
I think, Chris, one of the reasons that he's doing this is if he would have taken their deal that they offered, you know, where he would have admitted, hey, you know, if it would have gone to trial, we'd have had you. I think the reason he's fighting that is because if he would have done that, then that would have made it where Roger Goodell could have suspended him with basically no recourse.
Right. Well, okay, that's fine, except that I think he's going to end up in the same place a year from now anyway. I mean, I just have a feeling juries don't like this. You know, when some rich guy comes in with that's all the correct. Money in the world and you know, this look at the he's got to have exactly the right jury. And if he doesn't, you know, if it's a poorer jury or whatever, it's not going to fly. You know, he's not got like OJ had a jury of his own race, and that helped him. But generally, when you come in with a high-powered defense and the photos and the circles and the arrows and the paragraph on the back of each one, it's not going to necessarily do you that much good. So anyway, we'll see.
Palm Beach is a very diverse area, so yes, I mean, you may have a jury of all sorts of different people.
Well, I think you might wind up getting suspended anyway.
Yeah, because they're not going to do it while it's being adjudicated, this will just delay it for a year, and then maybe he'll just retire and say, Jonathan, deal with this. I don't care. Who knows? Okay, Jordy Nelson retired. That was kind of a surprise to me. I didn't know he was thinking about that. Had you heard anything about that, Robert, since he was with the Raiders last year?
No, actually, he wanted to play, but when the Raiders acquired Antonio Brown and picked up a few other wide receivers, he basically said, well, I saw the handwriting on the wall, and he said, he said, I really didn't want to have to go to a third team for a third consecutive year. So he said, the heck with it. That's enough.
Okay. Well, he was quite a good receiver and one of the main targets for Brett Favre and
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Okay. And, he had quite a career in Green Bay. That's for sure. Then we had, and I didn't even hear the news on this, but Jamal mentioned it the other night in our sports conference that Jordan Howard was traded to the Eagles from the Bears. And apparently the Bears coach wants a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield more than Jordan Howard does.
Jordan Howard, Chris, is your basic typical running back who is not a pass catcher. He's the one that will eat up yards. And Matt Nagy wanted somebody who could catch the ball out of the backfield, and all they got for him was a sixth-round draft choice in 2020. So, and the Eagles run the same kind of offense that Chicago does, so it'll be interesting to see how Doug Peterson will get Jordan Howard to fit into his offense.
Yeah, okay. And then the only other thing, and there were various things proposed in the owners' meetings and the competition committee and all that other stuff, and the only thing that was changed was now pass interference can be reviewed, can be some of the coaches can challenge, or in the last 2 minutes of the game, it can be reviewed, I guess, from the booth, too. So that's obviously a direct result of that game with the Saints and the Rams.
And they're also going to have an official in the replay booth from now on.
Yes.
Okay.
And that will be reviewed again, the pass interference thing. It'll be reviewed again in a year to see how it's worked.
Yeah.
Almost anything, and they may tweak it, but almost anything that ever comes in stays in. They may tweak them slightly.
That's correct.
But they do stay. But there were other things. I don't think we can get into that some other time, some of the other things that were brought up that didn't pass. But we have kind of a busy show tonight. So I think that's it. Anybody got any NFL stuff or anything else for that?
No,
I think that'll cover it for this week.
Okay, moving on to the NBA, or the association, all those people who are so hip. Okay, we have our standings here. In the East, we have Milwaukee at 57-19. We have 4 to 6 games left for everybody. The season ends on April 10th, so just so you know, we're coming down to the short strokes. Milwaukee at 57-19. Toronto, 54-23. So you can see that Milwaukee's basically got first place wrapped up. Philadelphia is pretty much locked in at 49-27. They're in third place. But then we have the Celtics at 45-32 and Indiana at 45-32. Pacers did the Celtics a favor last night by losing. The Celtics went out and lost a tough game to the they didn't play Horford or Kyrie, and they lost to Brooklyn. And so that was a little unexpected to me because I didn't know they weren't going to play. But the Indiana, cooperated by losing as well. The big game, one of the big games of the week, because this is going to go a long way towards determining home court advantage in their series, the 4-5 series, is on Friday night in Indiana when they play again. They had a game here in Boston on this past Friday where the Celtics won at the buzzer with Kyrie. But the Celtics get fourth right now. Because they won two and the Pacers have won one. So if the Pacers can win that other game, then we get to tiebreakers and everything else. So they're going to settle this pretty much themselves about who's going to have home court, which is good. It's kind of good that you get to come down like this. Detroit is so that's four is the Celtics at 45-32, Indiana 45-32, and number five Detroit is 39-37 in sixth, Brooklyn 39-38 seventh, Miami 38-38 in eighth, but then right behind them Orlando at 38-39, just a half a game out. And then Charlotte, 35-40. Charlotte's in a little bit of a trouble. They probably have to win pretty much all their games to stay in it. And now, finally, out of it, Washington at 31-46. Atlanta, 27-49. Chicago, 21-56. Cleveland is 19-58. So Cleveland's, I don't know if they want to pass Chicago, but they could. And the Knicks are 14-62. And the playoff matchups in the East right now would be Milwaukee, the number one seed, facing Miami. As we say, right now the Celtics are four, and they host Indiana. Toronto is number two, hosting Brooklyn. And number three is Philadelphia, and they would host Detroit. But that 6, 7, 8, 9 all could flip-flop around. That's a big battle in the mid-level of that of the conference as to who make those playoff spots, and again Charlotte maybe 6 through 10, but Charlotte's got a little, kind of up against it. And then in the West, we have Denver at 51-24, Golden State at 51-24, Houston is third at 49-28, Portland is fourth at 48-28. Some of these teams are going to be pretty busy. There's only 10 games left, 10 days left, and they're going to be playing a lot of games. Utah, 46-30 in fifth. The Clippers are at 46-31 in sixth. San Antonio, number seven, 44-32. Oklahoma City, also at 44-32. Out of the playoffs, and no contests about. They obviously can be jockeying for some of those positions for, you know, third. Well, let's see, Golden State and Denver. But you go Houston, let's see, they're 21 up. Portland, 48-28. So there, Houston and Portland can fight it out. Utah and the Clippers and San Antonio and so forth. Oklahoma City, those are all in play. But the teams that are out of it already, Sacramento, 37-39. The Lakers, 34-42. Minnesota, 34-42. New Orleans, 32-45. Memphis is 31-45, Dallas 29-46, and Phoenix is 17-60. And for the Western matchups, we have Denver right now be the one seed facing Oklahoma City. Remember, Oklahoma City used to be third. They've really been struggling lately, I guess. That's the 1-8. The 4-5 is Portland and Utah. Golden State at 2 would meet San Antonio right now. And Houston at 3 would meet the Clippers. We have some scores from today and some upcoming games. Atlanta beat Milwaukee in what must have been a pretty good game, 136-135 in overtime. Dallas over Oklahoma City, 106-103. At 6 p.m., we had the Lakers starting, and this is all Eastern time, so on this Sunday evening, Lakers starting at New Orleans at 6 p.m. 7, we had Sacramento at San Antonio. 8, we have Washington at Denver, 8:30, Charlotte at Golden State, and 10:30, Memphis at the Clippers. So, oh, and there was one big injury. Yusef Nurkic, I think is his name, is the center for Portland, and he broke his tibia and fibula. So he's a hurting cowboy. He's going to be out for a while, certainly the rest of this year, and I assume some of next year. That sounds pretty serious.
It's a pretty significant injury.
Yeah, that happened actually serious. In an overtime game when they with the Nets the other night.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's it for the NBA. Any NBA comments you need to hear?
Hold on, Robert. Keep in mind, the Lakers did announce and officially LeBron James is done for the year. I mean, since they're eliminated, it's been easy to play on, so he's done for the year.
Right. Okay. Go ahead, Robert. What were you going to say, Robert?
Today I read in the paper, and Sean, you might be able to comment on this. Apparently, Kristaps Porzingis is being considered to be charged for rape that he did in February of 2018.
He's being investigated in New York.
Yeah. Have you heard anything about that in your local area?
No, I haven't heard much about that, just that he's being investigated. That's all there's
saying. So, okay. Mark Cuban is in another mess, it sounds like. And One more comment on these coaches that rest these players. The Warriors did this about a week ago when Dallas came to town. They rested their entire starting lineup, and that's why Dallas blew them out 126-91. You know, in some cases, if you have your playoff spot wrapped up, that's one thing. But for some of these other teams, they're battling for spots. Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea. Like Brooklyn, for example, Boston basically handed that game to Brooklyn by not playing those guys. You know, because Brooklyn needed the game to solidify their playoff spot. Of course, the Celtics are in a fight with Indiana. So I don't know. Greg Popovich several years ago started a very bad thing. I wish the NBA would create some kind of rule where coaches weren't allowed to do these kind of things, especially when a playoff spot's at stake.
Well, it's pretty difficult, and you got the agents screaming at everybody, oh, my guy's playing too many minutes, and blah, blah, blah. So there's all kinds of stuff that goes on, too. Okay, so the NHL.
Chris, before we get to the NHL, we have time. So, Jerry, go ahead.
Okay, I wanted to sneak in a horse racing report. Yesterday, we did have the Florida Derby. We're 34 days from the Kentucky Derby. And we have to watch a horse named Maximum Security. He won the Derby, or the Florida Derby, by at least 6 lengths yesterday, and he looked pretty good. He led wire to wire.
Okay. From what I understand, everybody, usually a horse who wins the Florida Derby almost every year over the every year except for two in the last 30 years has finished in the top three in the Kentucky Derby.
Jamal, go ahead real quick, Jamal, before we're going to get to Marty Brenneman here in a little bit, but go ahead.
And we got hockey and baseball to do, too.
Correct.
Yep. Go ahead. Jamal. Hi,
hello, how are you?
Good.
All right. Okay, about March Madness, I checked out the Elite Eight games, some very terrific basketball. I am happy with the results. No Blue Bloods, no Duke. No Kentucky, no Carolina, no Kansas. Good riddance, the rubbish. I'm happy about that. And I'm not a big Moose Pearl fan, but now all I got to say is go Virginia. You know?
Okay, all right.
I want to see Virginia or Texas Tech win. A blue foot type of Weasley program. I mean, although he don't seem to be halfway out of the sky, but Michigan State's been up there enough.
Okay. All right. Let's go on to hockey. All right. And here we go. And again, now the NHL is really getting done. They're going to finish on this coming Saturday. And Robert, I don't think we have any makeup games to deal with on Sunday this year, do we?
No, everything will be done on Saturday.
Yeah. Okay. So here we go. Atlantic Division, Tampa Bay with 122 points. The Bruins, 103. Toronto, 97. We have Montreal at 92. Florida, 82. Buffalo, 72. Detroit, trying to sneak past Buffalo. Boy, Buffalo, remember Buffalo was hot at the beginning of the year. They've fallen apart. Detroit, 70, and Ottawa, 62. In the Metropolitan Division, we have Washington at 102. Islanders, 99. Pittsburgh, 95. Remember, this isn't counting today's action. They won today. We know that. Carolina, 93. We have Columbus at 92. Philadelphia now eliminated at 82. The Rangers, 73. And so NBC decided to show that game today because it was so riveting. And New Jersey at 68. So in the East right now, the way it would go, Tampa Bay would be the top seed, of course. And they'd play either Montreal or Columbus, who are both tied for that last wild card spot. And behind them, there's really nobody. We basically now know that, we'll go over that in a minute. Let me finish these matchups, and then we'll talk about that. Tampa Bay would play Montreal or Columbus. The Bruins would host Toronto right now.
I'm on the phone.
Islanders would play Carolina. And Washington would play Carolina. And then the Islanders would play Pittsburgh. So right now, the way it looks for the playoffs, you've got Carolina in the number one spot, and really the battle is going to be between Carolina to hang on to that and for Columbus and Montreal to fight it out for that last one. Everybody else is out of it, Florida, Philadelphia, everybody else. So that's kind of the way we are in the East. It's pretty simple in the East. I think it's a little more complicated in the West. In the Central Division, we have Winnipeg with 94, Nashville 94, and St. Louis 92. And so you see there's quite a bit. That's really tightened up. We got a big battle for first place in that division. Actually, there's a bit of a battle in the Metropolitan Division, but not as close as that. So you got three teams with the possibility to finish first in that Central Division. Dallas, 89. We have Colorado, 85. Minnesota, 81. Chicago, 79. And in the Pacific Division, we have Calgary at 103. San Jose at 97. And again, it's going to be pretty tough for San Jose, wouldn't you say, Robert, with 6 points behind with this number of games to go?
Yeah, because I was watching the Sharks Vegas Golden Knights game last night, and they basically said all Calgary has to do is collect one more point.
Right, which they can get tonight against San Jose.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's 97 for the Sharks. Vegas Golden Knights at 91 in third place. Arizona, 82. Vancouver, 78. Edmonton, 77. Anaheim, 76. And the Kings are at 67. So the Western matchups would be Calgary would meet Colorado right now. Then we'd have San Jose hosting the Vegas Golden Knights, which has pretty much been the way it's been lined up most of the year. In the and the other side of the bracket, you'd have Winnipeg playing Dallas and Nashville hosting St. Louis. And looking at the playoffs and who's where, you've got Colorado, as we say, we have, let's see, Dallas at 89, Colorado 85 for those two wild cards. And let me find Arizona at 82. It's going to be pretty tough for Arizona. I think it's going to probably be those two teams. And am I missing anybody else? Minnesota 81, no. So no. It looks like probably those two will get in. So we have some scores from today. We have the Rangers beat the Flyers in that pivotal game, 3-0. I'm sure it got great ratings. Arizona against Minnesota, and Arizona won that one 4-0. It's 6. Oh, and then we had the Penguins beating Carolina 3-1, and a good win for the Penguins. As I heard the end of it on they needed to solidify their spot, and they did a little bit on that, with that one. Then for games in progress, let me find them here. We will find them. Here they are. Okay. Hang on. Okay. 6 o'clock, Columbus at Buffalo. 7:30, the Bruins at the Red Wings in an original six matchup. 8 o'clock, Calgary and San Jose. And that would have been a big game, but as we say, it looks pretty much like Calgary's going to get that. And that's it for the NHL.
And you can pretty much put the that Columbus game in Columbus victory, because the last score I saw, they were way ahead of Buffalo. So
okay.
I think they're gonna get 2 points out of that.
All right.
And Bill, what about 2-3 minutes from Marty Brenneman?
Yes, we are. We've got about 2-3 minutes, and that's a hard 2-3 minutes. So
Let me quickly give the scores that we have for today, because we don't have any standings. We'll get them next week, and we have some notes that we can talk about contracts and stuff. We can do that next week because that'll hold. Detroit beat Toronto 4-3 in 11 innings. Pittsburgh beat Cincinnati 5-0. Miami beat Colorado 3-0. Tampa Bay over Houston 3-1. Washington beat the Mets 6-5 on a walk-off home run. Milwaukee over St. Louis 5-4. Minnesota beat Cleveland 9-3. Chicago over Kansas City. The White Sox over the Royals 6-3. Oakland over the Angels 2-1. San Diego beat San Francisco 3-1. The Dodgers beat Arizona 8-7. And the Red Sox lost to Seattle 10-8. And Texas beat the Cubs 11-10. So, and we've got the Braves and Phillies playing tonight. And what was the other game that wasn't over? The Yankees game.
Baltimore beat the Yankees 7-5, Chris.
Good news, good news. Baltimore over the Yankees. So, really, we can talk about those signings and those baseball matters next week, because they're not anything that won't keep.
Right. Now, before we get to Marty Brenneman, Dick had his hand up. Let's go to him real quick, and then we'll get to Marty Brenneman.
Dick,
are you there?
Dick.
Oh, I guess
maybe not.
Okay.
There he is.
There I am. Okay. You know, going back to the basketball thing, we're talking about these teams resting their players.
You know, if I were a season ticket holder to a game, I would be rather annoyed about that. Or, you know, those,
right.
Some of those seats are very expensive.
Well, ABC and ESPN and TNT have not been happy either, because sometimes they've done it on some marquee national games, and they have Charles Barkley ripped them on the pregame. One night, I forget who it was. He ripped about a month ago. He laid.
LeBron was out of a Warriors Lakers game one time on a Saturday night. That didn't go over well. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. Van Gundy was not happy about that one. No. But
time for Marty to go.
Only about 26 days away.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Time for Marty
Sean
to go.
Kiper will be
looking
into that.
Let's go to Marty Brenneman.
All right, with Bill Cunningham.
Do you know who your boyfriend or girlfriend is texting? Are you concerned they may be hiding something? LocateCheaters.com allows you to search any telephone number quickly and confidentially. Find out who your loved one is talking to. Enter any phone number to instantly find the owner's name, address, and location. For a limited time, you can search phone numbers for less than a dollar. Don't lose another sleepless night worrying about your loved one cheating. Go to LocateCheaters.com now and find the truth. That's LocateCheaters.com.
Do you suck at money? Don't worry, you're not alone. That's why Matt and I created this podcast, How to Money.
That's right, Joel. Money can be intimidating, and we're all about changing that perception. We're two best friends making money conversations fun and interesting and helping people suck a whole lot less at this money thing.
So whether you want to save more, buy a home, or just gain a better perspective on a subject that affects all of us, listen and subscribe to our show on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for How to Money.
Come.
Billy Cunningham, the great American. Welcome the day after Reds opening day, which is like Christmas and Easter, New Year's Eve, and 4th of July all rolled into one. Going to now on the Celebrity Hotline, the AcuteHearingCenters.com hotline, is the Honorable Marty Brenneman. Marty Brenneman, welcome again to the Bill Cunningham Show. Marty, how are you?
Billy, I'm good. How are you?
Well, I just got back from Christ Hospital, another one of my visits, so I think it's going pretty good.
Everything is in order and ready to go, and you feel good about it?
Well, I feel apprehensive. I mean, you'd be stupid not to feel apprehensive about having your aortic valve replaced next week. But at this point, now, Terry Hawkins has done everything imaginable to do. And today he went through, like, a video and went through, actually, what the valve looks like. And I've had an EKG. I've had a chest x-ray. I've had all the blood tests. I've had a heart catheterization, an angiogram. And so he's charting it out, and I'm confident. But, you know, whenever they do these kinds of things, it's not... not the easiest thing in the world to do, Marty.
Well, with all due respect to all the other people in that profession, you got the right guy doing it.
Yeah, and I'm confident next week things will go well. And he tells me if they don't do open heart surgery, I'll be back to work. If what I do is work within about a week. And, of course, if it goes the other direction, it might be 5 to 7 weeks. But, you know, it is what it is. Everybody's got something.
You got a lot of people praying for you, pal.
You know, it's amazing. You brought this up a few times. I can't believe I've got hundreds of get well messages and cards, which, you know, nobody sends cards anymore, but a lot of people do. And I'm amazed at the outpouring of love and lighting candles and that stuff. And I encourage it all, because I've never spent a night in a hospital in my life, never been in the emergency room. So this is, and I've been blessed. And so I'm no different than anybody else. And everybody's got something, or everybody's going to get something. So I feel good to exactly where I am.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
All right, let's talk about yesterday.
All right.
46 years.
Yeah.
46 opening days. First one was Henry Aaron hitting 714. I'm not sure a broadcaster ever had a better debut than that one.
And, I don't either.
And 46 years later, you're done. How quickly did those 46 years go by?
Well, you know how they go by.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, with the exception of a number of years younger, you're still a contemporary of mine. You've been in this business forever, and you wake up one morning, and in the blink of an eye, it's all gone. I mean, it's just incredible to me that 46 years have gone by doing the same job that I came here to do in 1974. However, I didn't treat yesterday any differently right. from the other opening days I've been to, because it's the beginning of my last year, but it's also the beginning of 5.5, 6 months or more of baseball. So, as I said yesterday, I think probably I will be more acutely aware of the road I've chosen to travel the last couple of months of the season. I don't know what the club has planned. I know they've got plans, but it won't happen until toward the end of the year. So I just treated opening day yesterday just like any other opening day, and the nice part of it is, opposed to what's happened in recent years, is they won and they did it in exciting fashion, and it was a hell of a good ball game.
What hell of a game. I mean, I said it in the years I've been to about 52 or 53 opening days in a row, and the weather was perfect. The game was perfect.
Yep.
The parade was perfect. The ninth inning was perfect. It was perfect. And to send Marty Brenneman out on his last announcement of the Reds opening day, that was about it. That was the best ever.
Well, I thought it was great. You know, Peraza homers, and then Dietrich, who is a very excitable young man. I get cranked up watching a kid circle the bases after hitting a dramatic home run the way he did, and not try to be cool about it.
Right.
I mean, he threw his fist up in the air and looked toward the dugout as he hit second base, and I just thought it was really cool for a guy in his first at bat in a red uniform trying to make a good impression on the people there to do what he did. And then David Hernandez coming on to relieve Iglesias in the ninth after Rysell obviously didn't have it yesterday and battled the hell out of the guy that the best hitter in their lineup, in Corey Dickerson, who had homered the previous time he'd been to the plate.
Right.
And ended up getting him to ground out to second to end the game. I thought it was just great.
In September, you have home games in Philadelphia and Arizona. Then the team goes to Seattle and Arizona and the Cubs. Are you taking any part of that?
I'm going on all those. The only thing that I'm not doing is the team ends the season in Pittsburgh.
Right.
I'm not going to go to Pittsburgh. I told our people, Phil and Karen Forgus and all the other people who have been involved in this retirement thing, that, you know, I began my career at Riverfront Stadium in 1974, and I want to end my career at Great American Ballpark in 2019. I don't want to go to Pittsburgh, and I just as soon end it right here, and that's the way it's going to be. That's the only concession I'm making there.
But, Marty, what if the Reds are in the playoffs?
No.
That's possible.
Absolutely. If that happens, then I'll be back. But as far as regular season baseball is concerned, I'm not going to be there.
Which two or three of the last 46 stand out to you?
Well, the opening, you mentioned the Aaron home run in the first inning of my first game. You know, Nuxall said after we went to a commercial break, what the hell do you do for an encore? I said, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm done.
Yeah. That one, one, and I can't remember, it was 78 or 79, and you'll probably remember, we had all the snow in the morning. An incredible snowstorm, and by 2:15 in the afternoon, the field, there was not a speck of snow in Riverfront. The grounds crew did such an amazing job, along with a lot of other last-second volunteers, to get all the snow out. And I believe that's the same opening day that Tom Seaver was scheduled to pitch. It was 79. And he had to be scratched. I think he was sick. And Frank, that story started and pitched a complete game shutout. And then 1990,
right,
which is the only time in the years I've been here that they opened on the road, and that was because of a strike that caused spring training to start late, so everything had to be moved up. And so the powers that be decided that whatever that date was, this is a date we're going to start the season, and wherever each team is, that's where they'll begin the year. And as it happened, the Reds were in Houston on that date. Barry Larkin triple with the bases loaded in the 11th inning in the Astrodome off Charlie Kerfel to win. And they never vacated first place. First team to go wire to wire since, you know, the divisional play came into the game in 1969. And then we all know what happened when the postseason began. And this opening day obviously will stand out because it is my last one. Yeah.
Marty, which two or three of the 9 or 10 managers that you've worked with for 46 years, which two or three managers stand out in your memory?
That's a good question. Naturally, Sparky. He meant so much to me. He was so good to me. And, you know, I compare my coming in 74 to replace Al, and I compare that with Tommy Thrall who is in here to do a lot of games and hope to make a good enough impression that he will be here after I'm gone. And I was awed by the whole thing. You know, I was just overwhelmed by it. And it was Sparky, and it was Bench, and it was Morgan, and it was Pete, and it was Perez. All of them made it easy for me to adjust to being in the big leagues as a broadcaster. Tommy Thrall's coming in here, hadn't missed a beat. I mean, he's got an edge about him. He's cocky in a good sort of way, and I respect that. I mean, I think the kid's got a lot of moxie about him, and he's got a chance to be pretty good. Sparky, one, I would say Pete, John McNamara, and Lou Piniella. They would probably be my big four.
I've seen enough. And the other day you said, I've seen enough on one of the, on your last.
I said yesterday, I said, you know,
I've seen enough
of Russell Iglesias. I mean,
I've seen enough.
He's going to walk the ballpark if they didn't get him out of there yesterday. But they're the guys. And it's not to say that, you know, I haven't enjoyed. There have only been a couple of guys that I didn't see eye to eye with. And I mean, for they had to put up with me, like it or not. But I've gotten close to almost every manager that has been here since I came in 74. And that's a good thing, but it's also a curse, because at some point you have to deal with the fact that they're going to be fired. And I've never been able to come to grips with that. When a guy, I love Dusty Baker. I mean, nobody loves Dusty Baker more than I do. And I hated to see him be let go, and I hate to see all the, if I didn't get close to him, then it wouldn't nearly be a personal thing with me. But you know, I'm the guy that does a radio show with him every day, and you can't help but get close to him.
Kind of the nature of the business that every Reds manager has been fired. It's very rare for a manager like a Joe Torre just simply to walk away with the thanks of a grateful club. It's just the nature of the business is the manager gets fired, every one of them.
Very few managers walk away on their own terms. That's exactly right. And every one of them, and it transcends all sports, whether you're a major league manager or you're coaching in college basketball or football or the NFL or the NBA or the hockey. And you know one day you're going to be fired.
Right.
With a possible exception being Bill Belichick. He may never be fired. But that's just the nature of the beast, and you don't think any less of a guy because he gets fired. You know, that it's just the way it is, and that doesn't mean you're not a good person. It doesn't mean you're a poor manager. It just happens, and that's the road they choose to travel, and say they accept it in the manner in which it was meant to be accepted.
Your favorite team would be
1990.
Why?
Well, you know, and I differentiate. That's my favorite team. Obviously, the team I was most awed by their ability to play the game was a big red machine. But the 90 club, for number one, you know, I went from 76 when I picked two world championship rings up in the first 3 years I was here. In fact, Byron Somm, who has been long gone now, he was a voice of the Phillies for a long time, and he's in the broadcaster's wing, and he came up to me in 77. He said, young man, you realize how lucky you are? And rather flippantly, I said, well, yeah, I guess so. Why? He said, you have two World Series rings. I said, yeah, I do. He said, you've done it in the first 3 years. I said, yes, sir. He said, I've been doing Phillies games since 47. I don't have one yet. and that really did not make that much of an impression on me until they went from 76 to 90. And the season began with a ball game in Houston, and for a lot of reasons. One, I love Lou Piniella. Two, he comes over from the American League where he spent his entire career and was smart enough to surround himself with National League coaches. And he listened to them in spring training when the games began because he had to learn the way the game was managed in our league, you know, without the DH as opposed to the American League. And once he did, then he took off. He was bombastic. He was profane. He wore his desires and his hopes and dreams on his sleeve. All the players knew that if they got into an altercation with an umpire, a verbal altercation, within a matter of seconds, he was going to be out there taking the battle away from them and directing it from himself to an umpire. they had the greatest chemistry of any team I've ever seen. I mean, it transcended the white players, the African-American players, the Hispanic players. Everybody loved one another. And it was the most amazing group and coming together of young men I've ever seen. And, you know, nobody picked them to win anything.
No, they were picked like this club. They
That's
were picked
right.
to finish third or fourth.
Correct.
And I think they won 9 out of 10. They just
They won the first nine. And then they were 13-3, I think, after the first 16. And they, they played a Pittsburgh Pirate team that, for my money, was a better team than the Oakland Athletics. And they beat them in 6 games, and then they faced an Oakland team that everybody was screaming dynasty about, managed by the man who invented baseball, Mr. Baseball himself, Tony La Russa. And the Reds beat them 4 straight. I mean, I love that team. And one of the nicest things that any player or players has ever done for me, and I don't think I've ever said it publicly, but a number of years ago, they had a reunion at Great American Ballpark, and they brought all these guys back. And I loved all of those guys. I mean, there wasn't a player on that team that I disliked. I liked them all. And they had a Friday night Q&A on the field that I conducted with a microphone, and fans, you know, could ask them questions, and I asked them questions. And when it was all over, they were all gathered there off the first base foul line, and the photographer screamed that they wanted to take a team picture, and I was walking away, and one of them yelled at me and said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm out of here." And he said, "No, you're not. You're going to pose for this picture with us." And that was one of the nicest things that a team has ever done for me.
And the 1990 World Championship belongs to the Cincinnati Reds as Todd Benzinger catches that ball.
That's right. It was really cool, and it was just a great, great bunch of guys. I'd like to think that every young guy that comes into this business can live close to or be a part of a magical year like I was in 1990, because, boy, it was a lot of fun.
Marty, yesterday, I know I had thoughts about Joe Nuxhall and the 31 years or so you spent with
Correct.
Joe. And probably, with all due respect to you, the most beloved character ever to exist in Cincinnati sports, politics, whatever it was, religion, it was Joe Nuxhall's at the top of the list. Did you have a moment yesterday thinking of how Joe would have reacted?
I do it every time something comes up. I spoke to a group Tuesday night of around 700 over in the Northern Kentucky Convention Center. And it never fails that, you know, they'd rather hear me tell stories of my 31-year relationship with him. And someone asked, they said, "What do you think Joe would be thinking right now about your announced retirement and all the things that I said?" He'd fall off the chair laughing, because he would know how uncomfortable I am about a lot of this. It's not that I don't appreciate it. I'm very honored by it, but I'm very uncomfortable about it. And he would get a real charge out of that. And you know what kind of relationship we had. It was just something. It was extraordinary. It was special. It was everything good and not a single thing negative. And part of this group I spoke to, I said, you know, with all due respect to people like Oscar Robertson and Pete Rose and any of the great names from any walk of life in the history of our great city, he's number one.
Yeah, I agree.
There is nobody that can challenge him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the most iconic, most beloved human being that ever lived in this city. And no matter what contribution other people make, and I'm not minimizing them, but he's a guy. He's number one, without any question.
Hi, Marty. Hold on. Stay right there. After the news, we're going to come back and talk more about what lies ahead for Marty Brenneman. Stay tuned for more with Marty and Willie on News Radio 700 WLW.
Org for more information.
Hi, Billy Cunningham. Let's now continue with Marty Brenneman and his 46th and final opening day with the Reds. Marty, let's talk about this other issue about you and Joe, and that is that there's no more Marty Brennemans and Joe Nuxhalls. There's no more Vince Scullys. There's no more Harry Carey's. There's no more of those people, with all due respect. What is it about that generation, the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, that gave birth to people like you? And I don't think it's going to happen anymore. Why?
Well, you know, it's funny you bring that up, because I liken it. To in one respect, to the PGA Golf Tour. and the people who are on it now, as opposed to Jack Nicklaus, to Arnold Palmer, to Lee Trevino, to Gigi Rodriguez. You know where I'm going with this. Guys that had incredible personalities, guys that had unique traits that no one else had. And today, and I'm not disrespecting the crop of young guys that are coming into the business, but they are what they are. They do a clean broadcast. They tell you what you need to know, but there's no discussion about other things that go on in life. And I've always felt, and Joe did too, you know, you want this club to win, but let's face it now, it's not the most important thing in the damn world.
Correct.
And I think that at times you need to convey that message to people, because they get so caught up in it that there are a ton of things more important than whether the Reds win or the University of Kentucky, for God's sake, wins. And I think when you approach that listening audience with a certain kind of personality, I think all it does is ingratiate you to them. And today, I hate to use a C word, censorship, but I think there's probably more censorship imposed upon young announcers today than there's ever been. And I think that's unfortunate. I read a thing on Twitter today about Larry Anderson, who's a former big league pitcher who has been a broadcaster with the Philadelphia Phillies for a long time. And he's a classy guy, and he's a guy that in some manner is cut out of the same mold as a broadcaster that I am.
Right.
He battled prostate cancer all winter. He had surgery. He's a very spiritual guy. Right now he's cancer-free, and obviously thrilled like we all are to be embarking on another baseball season. But he's had problems in the past, and he made the point so eloquently. He said, "I have a hard time with people who can't understand that honest, straightforward criticism that is deserved of a player or a team should not be confused with negativity."
It isn't. And that's difficult. It isn't. But the thing that made you so great and continues to make you great is that it isn't the ball hit to second. It's the in-between the pitches. It's in between the innings. It's what's coming up. It's personality. Marty, when it's all said and done, I know the next 6 months will be extremely emotional. Looking back in time, how would you like Reds baseball fans to remember Marty Brenneman?
Well, I think the biggest thing I like for him to remember, Bill, is I was a pretty nice guy. And I was always available to the fan. I've never had a fan ever say anything negative about meeting me, whether it be face to face outside a ballpark or at a restaurant in the middle of a meal. And that's more important to me than anything. But from a professional standpoint, I'd like to think that they'd say I was credible.
Yep.
Because to me, that's the highest compliment you can pay a guy in our business.
How emotional will you be at the end, that last series with Milwaukee?
It'll be tough. That's another thing. I used to kid Joe about being able to cry, and I used to say, boy, you could cry at the sun coming up or a door opening or anything like that. And over the years, I think a lot of it has to do with coming to grips with your own mortality.
Yep.
You know, when we're young, we're immortal.
Yep.
You know, we ain't never going to die.
No.
And I think the older you get, and I hate to say this, but I'm sure that's crossed your mind, especially with what you're looking down the barrel at next week.
Yep.
You think about that kind of stuff. And you also become more sensitive. It's just the way of life that when things happen now, especially when I talk about Joe, and it's tough for me not to shed a tear. And 25, 30 years ago, I had never done that. That was not emotional. I mean, that was not masculine. I think today it's probably the most masculine thing there is.
Well,
for a man to readily show his emotion about something.
You know, with age comes perspective. Marty, thank you. It's going to be a great six-month run, and I pray to God lightning strikes like in 1990. And this club can go on to the playoffs and do something there. But if not, the greatest broadcaster of all time, in my opinion, with all due respect to Vince Scully and others, is Marty Brenneman, because you're the background music of the summer of our lives. When I was in Toledo in 1974, listening to you And I said, who in the hell is this Marty Brennan character who can take the place of Al Michaels? And my guy said, well, I hope in 35 or 40 years we can say that about Tommy. That would be a wonderful thing.
That's cool. That's cool. I appreciate it, Bill.
Marty, you're the best. We'll be listening all summer and spring and fall on, and hopefully almost into winter.
Bill, we'll be praying for you next week, pal.
God bless you, Marty. Thank you.
You too, buddy. All right.